Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, January 4th, 2007. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. Well, you probably knew I couldn't do it. I said last week that I'd be taking this week off, but, you know, this podcasting thing is an addiction and or a compulsion. So I decided to compromise with myself and just do a short episode this week. And, you know, by the way, the kids are off watching Pokemon anyway, so they really don't care what I'm doing at this point. But really, the reason I decided to put this show together was because I got a fair amount of good comments on Tour's question about homebrewing terminology. And I wanted to include it in one big hunk, and I didn't want to have to trim any of it because of having to worry about time with an interview. You may remember that Tour from Denmark emailed a couple of weeks ago asking what homebrewers in the United States call themselves. According to Tour, a distinction has arisen between all grain brewers, who call themselves hand brewers or craft brewers, and extract brewers, who are known as homebrewers over there in Denmark. Homebrewer has become sort of a derogatory term because in the past, extract kits were very poor, according to Tour, and this stigma has stuck around even though extract brewing has improved. So, Tour asked what we call ourselves in the United States, homebrewers or craft brewers. I gave it a stab from my perspective, and then I threw it open to the field. And this week I want to share what responses I've received from some of our listeners. Well, let's start off with a basic answer that pretty much goes along with what I said in response to the question. Wild Bill from Seville, that's Seville, Ohio, writes in with this. Wild Bill says, I think the line should be drawn once the product begins to be sold. When I think of a craft brewery, I expect the end product to be sold one way or another. When I think of a home brewery, I don't expect the end product to be sold, swapped, traded, given away, he says, but not sold. And that's pretty much what I said in the earlier podcast. But, you know, there are a lot of opinions out there, and I'm open to all of them. You know, so we go beyond the clear-cut and simple explanation from Wild Bill and go to Fred from Apex, North Carolina. And he writes to expand the definition a little bit. He says, I would agree that home brewing should be used to refer to all types of brewing beer at home. However, I disagree that craft brewing refers only to commercial brewers. Fred says, I believe craft brewing also includes home brewing. Thus, craft brewing can be used to refer to anyone who is brewing beer in a crafted fashion and is to be distinguished from the mega breweries that have a different goal in mind. So there you go. There's an added layer there to that description, and I can see that point. You know, good homebrew is definitely a crafted product. In fact, some might call it art, although I don't know if I'm going to be calling myself an art brewer anytime soon. If you remember, Peter Brookart from New Belgium told us that he created 10 minutes of art with his beers when we started talking to him about styles. Now, one question that I asked when I posed this issue was whether there was any perceived rift between extract brewers and all-grain brewers in the United States, as there is in Denmark. I didn't think there was one. In fact, I still brew with both methods, all-grain and extract, depending on the situation. I got this reply from Jeff in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Jeff says, I'm still an extract brewer due to time constraints, working and getting a master's degree, both full-time. Come on, Jeff. Rearrange your priorities there. Beer is important stuff. but Jeff says, once I'm done with school, I will try my hand at all-grain brewing. I've listened to more than a few different brewing podcasts and read many books on brewing beer at home, and I don't believe there's any real animosity between the two camps. If anything, there's a little bit of extra pride from all-grain brewers, but I don't think they really look down on extract brewers. I figure the reason is that almost 100% of those all-grain brewers had to start somewhere, and that place was usually extract brewing. Well, I think Jeff is right on there. And to add a point of my own, I think that just about any all-grain brewer would be glad to offer tips to any extract brewer who's wanting to make the jump, to share that knowledge. and to bring them to All Grain Brewing. And I want to say bring them over to All Grain and not up to, because in my opinion, you can make good beers with both methods. Then there's this from Bruce in Pleasantville, New York. Bruce says, I think someone on the Northern Brewer Discussion Board recently said it best. If you're brewing with extract, it's a hobby. If you're brewing with all grain, it's an obsession. Bruce says, I use extract due to time and space constraints, but I am loving the beer that I make. Even my most mediocre beers have been far better than what I can buy at the supermarket. And that's the main reason to brew anyway, no matter how you do it. Well, I think Bruce's comment gets straight to the point, at least from the American perspective. Most of us in the U.S. brew beer because we love good beer. And you do have to be a little obsessive to get into all-grain brewing, at least at first, because there is a bit of a learning curve. However, like any advanced technique, once you know how to do it, it becomes basic. Then there's this from Kai in Massachusetts. Kai says, as you mentioned, here in the U.S., extract brewing is not really seen as an inferior way of brewing, and I attribute this to several factors. First, there's a lot of high-quality extract available these days, and secondly, American beer styles and brewers generally focus on strong flavor from dark grains and hops, thus making mashing less important. And I bet there are a few eyebrows raising out there. But Kai also says, I'm also a regular reader of a German homebrewing board, and over there, extract brewing, or kit brewing, as it is also called, is indeed seen as an inferior way of brewing. It's just seen as a stepping stone to all grain, and no serious brewer would stick with extract brewing. That's in Germany, keep in mind. Something that actually bothered me when I was still brewing with extract, says Kai. And that's not surprising, since historically mashing has been a big part of German beer styles, and even the few German homebrew books I own don't even mention extract brewing as a form of home brewing. They all assume that you want to mash your own grain. And Kai says, with a step mash, of course. And he has the little smiley emoticon there with a wink. I also got a note from John Palmer, author of How to Brew, which is always flattering to me because I have a tremendous amount of respect for John, both as a person and as someone who knows a boatload, or at least a bookload, about brewing beer, and it's always nice to hear from John that he's listening to the show. John says, regarding the distinctions between types of brewing, I think it's safe to say that craft brewing, in Australia, and home brewing in the U.S. are equivalent, and that both include the skilled use of both extract and all-grain methods to produce professional quality beers. So craft brewing in Australia and home brewing in the U.S. The Australians have a term that I think is very descriptive, kit and kilo, which refers to the old can of malt extract and a kilogram of added table sugar. John says this is equivalent, I think, to the home brewing that your listener talked about in Denmark and is equivalent to the Mr. Beer kit people in the U.S. So there you go. That's from John Palmer. And John suggested that I email Graham Sanders, host of Craft Brewer Radio, as well to get his input, and I did. Graham's name also came up in a letter from John in Adelaide, Australia. This John says, over here there is a bit of division between extract and all-grain brewers. Extract brewers are intimidated by all-grain brewers and make all manner of excuses for not going all-grain. John says, I think Colonel Graham Sanders uses craft brewer instead of home brewer because home brew has a real stigma in Australia as barely drinkable extract rubbish that only desperate alcoholics would drink. Sad, but true. And John continues to say, the other thing I was going to add about all-grain brewers, in Adelaide anyway, is we love a bulk buy. John says, one bloke buys two pallets of malt, and someone else will import a heap of hops or get Tasmanian local whole hops. Even sodium percarbonate, orthophosphoric sanitizer, you name it. And John sent me his inventory list, and boy, he's set up pretty well. So anyway, I got in touch with Graham to get more perspective from down south, and he sent me his thoughts on the topic, even though I think he's walked this road many times And here's what Graham had to say.
G'day to all the craft brewers and home brewers out there. I thought I'd add a little bit to the comments the bloke from Denmark made about extract brewers versus grain brewers and home brewers versus craft brewers, because I think we need to look at this in a wider perspective. And the first thing we've got to look at, in my view, is cost of the base mega swill in the countries where you live. Because you find that how the hobby evolved depends a lot on the base cost of your home mega swill. In countries where the cost of the mega swill is relatively dear, and that's in Australia, in Denmark, in Scandinavia, in a lot of countries, you find that a lot of people brew at home for no other reason than to get a cheap source of alcohol. Now, this exists to this very day, and as a result, these people don't brew for flavour. They get the cheapest ingredients out there, and they brew accordingly just to make an alcoholic beverage. Taste is very much a second issue to these people. Now, in countries like the United States, of course, the cost of mega swill is dirt cheap. No one in their right mind would go out and actually brew a beer based on making it cheaper when you can go to the local store and buy it for the cost of soft drink. Putting that base concept into place, brewing at home has always existed in countries where your base cost of beer is expensive. Around the world, around the 70s, in most countries, brewing at home was legalized in one form or another. Now, in countries where it was economical to brew at home, kit and kilo breweries, that is, malt extract and sugar with simple kits, flourished, whether it's from chemists, pharmaceutical stores, supermarkets, and cheap and nasty kits turned up just everywhere, and to this day they still exist. Even in Australia, to this day, you can go to the supermarket and get cheap and nasty kit and kilo kits. Now, the brewers of these don't care about flavour. They will make it hot, they will make it with just ordinary bread yeast, they don't care, and they still exist in these countries to this day. In fact, they outnumber craft brewers, people who take pride in their brewing, by at least 1,000 to 1. And the reputation of home brewers, these guys who brew with kit and kilo, base extracts that taste like crap, their reputation stands today as terrible, and people don't associate home brewing with quality products in these countries. In America, it's different. If you start brewing in America, you're doing it for flavour, not because you can't get a cheaper product. So the reputation of home brewing in America is different. Now, when you take this context on board, not such a rift between extract brewers and grain brewers, it's more a rift between what would you call a craft brewer in a country, say, like Australia or Denmark, a guy who takes pride in their brew, versus a craft brewer in America whose definition is a microbrewer. So, for the international listeners out there, I've got a brief guide, if you like, of the various forms of terminology compared to the US that you might hear on basic brewing radio. So, for the listeners out there, a home brewer generally in countries around the world is someone who brews a poor quality product. They don't care about flavour or taste. It's a kit and kilo brigade. I don't know of any term that's available in America or used in America for that, but home brewing is used a lot around the world for these sort of bathtub type brewers. In many countries around the world, they use craft brewing. You heard it from the guy from Denmark, meaning someone who brews at home making a quality product, and that can be extract or grain. They take time and effort to make a good product. In America, they call them home brewers. Now, a brewer who brews in a microbrewery around the world is called that, a microbrewer or a boutique brewer. In America, they call them craft brewers. And the beers they produce are craft beers in America. Generally, they're called boutique beers anywhere else in the world. So really, it's more a cultural thing, this terminology, and it comes around simply from the base cost of the mega swill in your country that determines the evolution of the hobby.
So it's a money deal. I appreciate Graham sending in that sound file. I know it's a topic that he's handled over and over and over again, and I appreciate his chewing his cabbage one more time for us. And maybe for the benefit of our international audience, I should start saying that we're all about good quality homebrewing, just to clarify a bit. You can hear more from Graham on Craft Brewer Radio, and I believe that the you can find it on iTunes if you do a search. You can also find it. I believe it's radio.craftbrewer.org. And Graham's been doing this for a long time. Finally, I wanted to hear from our neighbors to the north, so I asked Matthias in Vancouver, British Columbia, to give his take on Canadian perceptions. Matthias says, Canadians tend to use the same terms as our friends in the U.S. A home brewer is a hobby beer maker, regardless of the brewing method. We generally don't use the term craft brewer, although I will often tell people that I make craft beer from scratch. I find this is helpful for many people who don't realize homebrewing can make far better beer than their uncle's cidery brew from the early 80s when it was all about bad kits and stirring a kilo of sugar into the wort. Sounds familiar. Mattia says, amazingly, these kits, complete with silly directions, are still available at many grocery stores. Homebrewing still appears to bonk against its kit and kilo days. And Matthias continues regarding Canada-U.S. beer drinker relations. This is on the commercial side. I find most Canadians' view of American commercial beer to be amusing. There's a general perception that American beer is watery because our Canadian versions of light lager come in at 5% ABV instead of 4%. While this may be true, the U.S. craft brew scene is light years ahead of Canada. In Vancouver, we have some great brew pubs and independent microbreweries which supply draft beer to discerning restaurants, but we have very few options for bottled craft beer. We even have an historic large brewery in eastern Canada which has the audacity to call its fizzy thin lager with no hop presence an IPA. Considering all the craft breweries in the U.S., should Canadians really be slagging American beer? Thankfully, Mattia says, I have a great local homebrew shop where I can get fresh ingredients to make great beer at home. I hope that homebrewers are able to help change Canadians' perceptions of beer and that there is a world of flavor beyond the light lager, even if it is 5% ABV. And he closes by saying, this is, of course, only the opinion of one Canadian beer geek. And I appreciate that opinion, Matthias, as well as all the others that we heard this week. I think he hit on a very important part. I think that part of our responsibility as home brewers is to raise the awareness of our friends, relatives, and neighbors about high-quality beer, whether it's brewed at home or in a commercial brewery that really wants to make something interesting. Just a part of just the burden that we carry as being part of the home brewing world. So there you go. I thought that was interesting discussion. I wanted to share it with you this week as I take my semi-vacation this week. And I hope you enjoyed it as well. Next week, it's back to work full-time. Among the show topics that I'm lining up for the new year is a discussion with John Palmer of How to Brew about pH. It's something that kind of intimidates me, but I'm sure that John will help us take the fear out of the discussion about pH. I'm looking forward to that. And our chat with John may happen as early as next week. We'll see how our schedules mesh. I'm itching to brew my first brew of 2007 and break in my new 2007 Brewer's Logbook. How's that for a segue into a shameless plug? I just took a bunch of them to the post office a few minutes ago, and I appreciate those who have ordered them. And I hope that those of you who have ordered the books off our site, basicbrewing.com, will give me some feedback and let me know what you think of the layout. I think Steve did a great job. It looks great, and it's functional as well. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say hey, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from, and please don't forget to tell us or to check your email address as well, so they won't bounce back. And while you're on our site, you can check out our online shop where you can find great pricing on our DVDs and a combo deal to save you even more. In Basic Brewing, Introduction to Extract Home Brewing, which is our first DVD, we walk you through the extract brewing process step-by-step from boiling to bottling. And in our second DVD, Basic Brewing, Stepping into All Grain, we walk you through the all-grain process from milling your grain to collecting your wort. We do that in a nice little non-linear way to let you choose between different methods. It's a lot of fun. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order it from us online. We'll ship it to you. I'll put it in a box myself. Thanks to everybody who continues to click on our Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support very much. Well, that's it for this abbreviated version, this holiday version of Basic Brewing Radio. Until next week, everybody, thanks for listening. I'm James Spencer, production help for Basic Brewing Radio, and our website is provided by our buddy Kelly Dotson, who also did our logo. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.